We're going to pray for Dave. Dave is one of the team here at Welton. Matt and I give the church a lead for any guests here this morning. But we love Dave, and we love that he gets hold of the Word of God. And this, if you hadn't guessed already, is one of our kind of termly all-age gatherings, both at our 9, 15, and 11. But one of the things Dave is really committed to is actually getting into the depth of Scripture and making it accessible. So we'd love to pray for you, Dave. Is that all right? So Lord, we say together that because we love you, we love your Word. And we love hearing your voice through your Word. And so we just pray now, as Dave comes and shares, that we would get hold of something new, something that you want to say to us about who we are, how we're made, our physical frame. Father, we believe passionately that you're a God who loves us and you love the whole of us. So we just pray for Dave now and we pray for one another that we would listen well to you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, so as you know, I like to come up with nice titles for my sermons. So I decided to call this morning The Pursuit of the Perfect Body with Dave Kingswood. Felt like a natural. Why are you laughing? So just to start, I want to tell you that when I was growing up, I had two very annoying friends. One was Matt and one was John. They were completely different blokes, and I liked them for completely different things, but they had one thing in common that was the same. They were both incredibly good-looking. Girls loved them, right? They just flocked around them the entire time, and they didn't seem to do anything about their appearance. They didn't exercise. They weren't particularly well groomed, but somehow they were effortless. I mean, you understand this, don't you, Paul? Effortlessly gorgeous. That new word that I just made up. It wound me right up because it wasn't the same for me. You see, I also want to introduce you to a dear friend of mine. Guy called Steve Arnold. Some of you may remember Steve. He used to come to church a few years ago. They now live in Wales. I want to show you a video of him doing something because he is now a European powerlifting champion. And are you ready? Can we do it? Okay, watch this. So this is my friend Steve practicing lifting 227.5 kilos. I can't do that. That's a lot of weight, 227. So that's about 2.5 of me, 2.25 of me. He's a very, very strong lad. Also, I want to introduce you to three other characters. Firstly, a guy called Daniel Tammet. He is an English writer. He's an essayist. He's a translator. And he's particularly gifted with mathematical to be able to do kind of crazy stuff with maths, like mathematical calculations. He also can kind of do sequence memory and natural language learning. He's very, very adept to these things. And in his mind, Tammet says that he can see integers, so individual numbers, up to 10,000 as unique shapes and colours inside his mind. And he says that they have like a feel and a texture to them. It's incredible. And he holds, just to kind of give you an idea about his capability, he holds the European record for reciting pi, so anyone that can remember 3.14 from when they were at school, to 22,500 decimal places. In fact, 22,514 before he got it wrong. It took him 5 hours and 9 minutes. He also speaks 10 languages. He's infuriated. Right. Secondly, Stephen Graham. You know him off the telly? So this chap's been in numerous movies, TV shows. He's achieved 17 Best Actor wins. He's got an OBE. He's been in Martin Scorsese movies. He's also been in Coronation Street. I don't know how it went from one thing to the other. Thirdly, Eddie Hall. Anyone know Eddie Hall? So Eddie basically has had an entire career of powerlifting. He's one of the things that he was known for was that he broke what was thought to be basically a mythical lifting weight. He makes Steve look like a wuss. He lifted 500 kilos in one lift. It's actually been beaten now by a guy, by a monster Viking guy who did 501. But previously to that, the world record was 565. So absolutely colossal amount for one human being to lift, but he did it. You can actually see the steel bending there. That's how heavy that thing was. What incredible people, right? What incredible things to be able to do with your body. I wish I could do half of what any of those people could do. But, you know, when I was reading the Bible when I was a teenager, when I was friends with Matt and with John, I would read in Psalm 139 that David prayed to God and he said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." See, that speaks of the care and attention with which God has made us, doesn't it? Wonderfully made. You see, God has made billions of human beings, but we're not mass-produced. We're individually produced or made, wonderfully made. We're not churned out on a conveyor belt. It's like individually we are special, each unique, each thought about. So just with all that in mind, do you ever find yourself comparing your body, your physicality to other people? Maybe there's that kid at school who's a faster runner than you. Or maybe there's a girl who is prettier. Maybe there's that guy at the gym with rippling muscles. And you think, oh man, I'd love to look like you. But God never wanted us to compare ourselves to others. Because we are individually made, we're fearfully made, each of us as individuals. And I think we tend to focus a lot of attention on our bodies, at least superficially. We can think about, talk about, and worry about how our bodies look, feel, and function all the time. Some of us clearly do this more than others. But if you just pay attention to the conversations, information, media, advertisements around you on a daily basis, it's amazing to see how much obsession there is about our bodies and also how much we tend to equate our success, effectiveness, and overall well-being to our physicality. Now, while there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good, and it's really important that we focus on keeping our bodies as healthy as possible, in many cases, I would argue, we place a disproportionate amount of our self-worth and our value on our bodies or a lack thereof it. In other words, I think that we can quite often think that if we look good and feel good, we are good. And we think that if we get sick, if we feel tired or don't like our appearance, we somehow are bad or at least not as good as we think we should be. We also, I don't think, make much distinction between our physical state and our other states, such as our mental, emotional, and spiritual states. I remember hearing a story of a monk who slept only 2 or 3 hours a night because he was so busy tending to the sick and needy people in his community. And when people asked him, "Don't you get tired?" he responded by saying, "My body gets tired sometimes, but I'm alive and vibrant." And that story really stuck with me and illustrated, I think, the important distinction between us and our physical bodies. Now, I'm not saying we should completely disconnect from our body, but I am suggesting that we move away from the idea that we are simply the flesh and bones that we travel around in. Our bodies are an important aspect of who we are, but far, I would argue, from all we are. Our body weight doesn't determine our wealth, our health. Our level of health is not an indicator of a value as a human being. How much hair we have or whatever other physical issue you obsess about doesn't make us good or bad as a person. And how we look and feel is not the ultimate indicator of our success, fulfillment, and worthiness in this life. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So I wonder what that means for you. Does it mean a better diet for you? Does it mean a better thought life? Does it mean that you're actually going to use that gym membership that you keep meaning to get round to? But I would encourage you to answer these questions for yourself, because I think I found it helpful to think of the tension that I sit with when I think of the Holy Spirit being completely connected to my physicality in relationship with all these ideas that I've kind of presented. So if I'm eating and drinking myself to death, how can it sit well with the Holy Spirit, you know? I'm not saying this for condemnation, but I think it's good for us to be mindful of how we hold these tensions in our bodies. And if we struggle with some of these things, it's okay. It's just something that we need to be able to bring back to Jesus and be accountable to one another on. This isn't about whether our bodies look better or not because we're behaving ourselves, but rather how we please God with the use of our body, both in service and in nature and in nurture. Also, I think it's helpful to think of your bodies as a way to bring something unique. For instance, if you know someone who's an amazing teacher, but they struggle with their weight and you're into fitness, why not offer your help for them to get fitter so that they can do what they do for longer? Or maybe you are someone who has overcome something physically and you know somebody else is struggling with it. How about coming around them and bringing that kind of way of service? We don't often think about our bodies as a gift to others like this. But I don't think it's a bad way to think about it. It's something we can do. You know, those guys I told you about at the beginning when we started, they're quite interesting characters. You know, Daniel Tammet, when he was just a boy, he had a huge epileptic fit. And he's autistic. And that's partly where his abilities, if you want to call it, have come from. He struggled many things in his life, and yet his mind is one of the finest in the world. He's actually called a savant. Stephen Graham, he's a phenomenal actor, if anyone's ever seen him in stuff. But you know, he has to get his wife to read his scripts because he's dyslexic. Eddie Hall started to exercise to control his ADHD. I didn't know that. He was like, I have to put this energy somewhere. And my mate Steve, he started bulking up because he was getting bullied at school. And he wanted to look like he could handle himself, and then he got into it. So maybe you have been given some of those kind of labels in life like that. Maybe someone has assigned value to you or given you labels which make you feel rubbish about your mind or your body. But I don't think God looks at you like that at all. He sees that you can serve him in just the unique way that you can. And I think God, in Corinthians, is reminding us to look after ourselves and our bodies in whatever way we can to help build his kingdom. So if you're a good listener, use your ears. If you're practical, use your hands and feet to serve others. If you're good at producing art, produce art to bring God's heart to people. If you've got a fine mind, then teach others to see God's beauty. Whatever our physicality is like, we can use our bodies in all kinds of different ways to bring God's love to earth and remember what was said about Jesus' body as well. This is in Isaiah 53. Some of you may know this, some of you may not. But in Isaiah 53:2, it says this: the servant grew up before God, this is in the Message version, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. So wait, the most beautiful human being that was ever created, that came to this earth, wasn't good looking. I find that incredible. See the difference between real beauty and God's eyes is how much we can get it so easily wrong when we focus on the wrong stuff. So if you've been given a label, or maybe you have given yourself a label, know that God can use you just as you are, and you can do more for his kingdom than you will ever know if you realize that you are not just your body. You are a son and daughter of the Most High, and you can do anything. The perfect body is not perfect because of what it can do. It's perfect because every action that you do to serve Jesus brings perfection through it. Amen.
It's good to get us thinking, isn't it, around how God sees our physical bodies and all that goes on inside of us. We want to take just a few minutes to pray for anybody that is sick at the moment, that's not very well. And so I want you to give it a little bit of thought to, could be you, could be somebody else, but just give that a little bit of thought for a moment, somebody that's not so well. We believe passionately in this church that God loves to heal, whether that is in your home, whether that's in the playground, whether that's in our workplace or here in church. We believe that God loves to heal. One of the names for God in the Bible is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And so we want to take God at his word this morning. And so we're going to be doing that in a particular way. We want to acknowledge that God is interested in every part of us. So we're not focusing every week on our bodies. We're doing it this week saying, Lord, what is it you want to say to us about maybe how we view ourselves? And at the same time say, Lord, is there something that you want to do supernaturally in the area of our physical frame?
So as we come to pray, on your chair there should be a card with a scripture. Hopefully you've got one of those. Give us a wave if you haven't. Fliss is keen to come and hand you one. Everybody got a card? And on that card is a scripture which says, by his wounds you have been healed, from 1 Peter 2. And then there's space underneath for you to write a name. That name could be yours or it could be somebody else's.
And if you need a pen, maybe Dave, you could. We've got a box of pens. If you haven't got a pen with you, give us a wave and Dave will bring you a pen.
Okay, yeah, give us a wave. Then in a moment, we'll invite you to pause and decide who you'd like to ask God for healing this morning.
So there's going to be some time where we're going to read a number of passages from Scripture, truth about how God loves to heal, from the Old Testament and from the New Testament, passages that speak of God's healing power. And as we read these, we're going to invite you just to come up and to put that name, whether it's your own name or somebody else's name, just here, to lay that at the foot of the cross, really as just an act of faith to say, Lord, we are bringing this person before you, believing that you are the God who can heal them, whether that's yourself or somebody else.
Let's pray. Lord, we pray you bring to mind today those who need your healing touch and power in their lives. Give us faith as your church to believe for healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we're families together. We're going to be relaxed about this. There's a good 3, 4, 5 minutes worth of scripture that we're going to read. And so when you're ready, maybe you want to pause just before jumping in, but that's fine. Just say, who is it, Lord, that you want to put in my heart? And he may say it's you. And we may it's somebody else that you'd love to see God's healing brought to their life. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise.
He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds.
And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God.
So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up.
Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed.
Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.
Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind.
Let's pause for a moment and pray. Lord, you are the healer God. And so together as church family, we say we trust you. And because we trust you, we trust your word. And we speak your word, that faith over each of these people, whether it's ourselves here this morning or those that you've kind of put in our minds. And we say in Jesus' name, by his wounds, you have been healed. We ask that each of these people, loved, made in your image, delighted in, we pray that they'd experience your healing in their bodies, in their lives, and they would live that bit more free. We speak healing to them this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.